Hi everyone, thanks for coming. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge the Woiwurrung and the Boonwurrung peoples of the Kulin Nation, whose land this exhibition takes place, and I live and work in Melbourne. And pay my respects to Aboriginal people that may be present here today, in past and present. Today, I'll be talking about my exhibition that's on now, Deny, Denial, Deny, which is a culmination of works that was created from a residency that I participated in South Africa last year. So in Johannesburg at a space called Assemblage, and inside Assemblage there was also a printmaker's studio. But in that time I created a series of serigraph prints, the video installation specimen 127086, and the installation work, Your Idea of Africa Sucks, as well as Remembering District 6. So I thought I'd first talk about, as the exhibition is titled, Deny, Denial, Deny. When I was in South Africa and doing this residency, I was thinking about my identity and how it related to aspects of denial. So in South Africa, some of you, I'm sure, are well aware, but may not be, there's this third space called coloured. And, you know, it's a term that I have a difficult relationship with because it's, oh, hi, come in, there's more chairs if you need to grab a chair, that's right. And there's some at the front. But yes, yeah, so a term I have a difficult relationship with, this space of coloured, and it's also in my mind a kind of colonialism 101, divide and conquer within South Africa. So dividing or creating this thinking that coloured is this separate race, as you know, and separating coloured people from other communities in South Africa so that colonialism and white supremacy could occur there. So in the works, as you can see, what I'm wearing, coloured TM, and the serigraph print, coloured TM. I wanted to kind of play with that idea of, well, that it is a construction and make it look like a brand. So trying to reclaim that language as well, where, and self-determine my identity. So taking the word coloured TM as acknowledging it's a construction, but it's my construction on how I want to create that space. But also in acknowledging that construction, that this is language of the oppressor that was created to subjugate us. So moving from using language and trying to reclaim language like colour, the serigraph prints, I'm really interested in text at the moment and how language informs our understanding of identity. And a lot of these works also draw from my own personal experiences of racial examination and interrogation, questions of, you know, starting from where you're from, or, oh, in school, how come your parents are black and you're not? These kind of things where you start to deconstruct, okay, well, how are you viewing my visual identity to then put me in your rigid thinking of what identity is supposed to be. So I'm trying to challenge those notions because it clearly still sets up problematic understandings of representation and identity. So the words deny, denial, deny are repeated throughout the works, as it kind of literally was repeated while I was thinking about South Africa and coloured identity, and also in terms of denial, looking at District 6 and how denial operated in that form, where District 6 was a community that was very close to inner city Cape Town that was, so it's last year was 50 years since it was declared a white area, and it was demolished. So people were sent to live in different areas that were designated based on their racial identity. So this completely obviously segregated the community that was already during apartheid, it was more segregated. So it completely destroyed families, a sense of self, and also just being close to cities and cities where you need access to work. So again, like subjugating people so that they weren't close to work or their communities. So the video that's in the room, that's footage from a march that took place, acknowledging and remembering those forced removals. And so the land, if you go there now, it's still cleared with rubble, because it literally, you know, Hanover Street where we walked down in the video was a thriving area. But I think, don't quote me, I think DF Milan saw District 6 as a threat to breed radical thought, having so many diverse people in a space together, that this would breed a thinking of, you know, challenging his plan of white supremacy. So thinking of these aspects of historical denial that's happened within the coloured community during apartheid, because I think also within South Africa now, there's still a large community of coloured people who feel their voice is not represented. There's shame that is being created within the community to not acknowledge their slave ancestry, because there's always been an education of striving for whiteness. And so through that shame, you have people who identify as coloured and are very proud of that, again, when I'm talking about reclaiming that language, but also people who feel underrepresented, especially in the new South Africa, where you have a visually black political senate, but the economic wealth is still going to abroad white companies. So there's a space of, I guess, people feeling underrepresented. But now there's conversations starting to happen where it's loosely nicknamed Afrikaans, but again, that taking back of language, where the people talk about Afrikaans as like a Dutch language, but Afrikaans was like created, as it's nicknamed, Kombes, like it was created in by the slaves, like so that they could create their own language, because obviously the Afrikaner, the Dutch, had their own language already. So it's much more Creole and complex than people nicknaming it Baby Dutch and whatnot. So this reclaiming, calling Afrikaans, was interesting while I was in Johannesburg. And I had family photos of mine on the wall and images of District 6. And people come up and go, oh, I didn't know you were coloured. And then some people would say, oh, I knew you were coloured. So these kind of statements that are so, like, what does that even mean? Like, you know, how have you already constructed me visually? And so, yeah, these kind of questions into coloured identity that I wanted to look at in the works, but also challenging, like taking back or using Afrikaans in the work. So this work here, Nie Deny Nie, I'm like Nie in Afrikaans is no. So I'm kind of playing with what is seen and what's not seen in language. And even, so these works, sorry, I should have said that earlier, are taken from the South African Institute for Race Relations publications dating from 77 to 1983. And I wanted to particularly focus on, so as I kind of touched on, these ideas of shame and denial of identity, but the race reclassifications. So you'll see in some of the works it's kind of more honed in, different pages from the population chapter in these publications. So before I get into that, the Institute operated privately from, wasn't affiliated with any government or political party, but wanted to record the social and economic affairs happening in South Africa. So in recording that, recording statistics, but the space that I actually had the privilege of visiting when I was in Braamfontein last year, the space also activated theatre and arts. There was a library and it wasn't racialised, like anyone could go into that space at a time where spaces were very racialised, and things like the dorm pass that you had to carry if you could enter certain areas, you had to show through your identity book. So in here you'll see numbers, like head coloured to white, white to head coloured, Indian to Malay, and different numbers of people who you could go to Home Affairs and fill in a form, and if you looked the right part, you could apply to change your identity. So I was also thinking about denial and how it operated in that way, and especially because the higher numbers in these works are people who are Cape coloured going to white. So I'm suggesting, is there that striving for whiteness? And obviously there was a want for economical advancement, but at the same time, this also separated families. So I know within my family, and if any other people who identify as coloured, that it's extremely diverse. Like, and these questions again, like my sister and brother, visually, physically, very different to me. So by applying for whiteness, was then again separating families. And you know, there's still a friend of mine in Cape Town talked about, there's aunties I don't even talk to anymore because they decided to apply for white, and it, you know. So yeah, I kind of want to look at denial in that way. I'm merely putting question out there. I don't want my work is plays with satire and ambiguity. I don't want to tell my viewer what to think, but rather to think about what I'm proposing. So how denial could operate within the Cape coloured community of denying their like black or brown or slave ancestry because of these kind of numbers, or were they denied at birth with their what they were assigned? Sorry, I'm just trying to think what else I can talk about. And as I touched on the past, so the video installation, specimen 127808 6, I wanted to create like a kind of lab subject. Like I'm in a lab, or I'm the subject matter, kind of touching, of course I talk about the work and then it starts glitching. But it's me like spinning around with my measurements at the bottom of my lip width, my hair length, eye colour, buttocks protrude length. So kind of touching on things like Sada Bachmann, a Khoi Khoi woman who was taken by the French to Europe and basically like exoticized and made like a lab again was put like in a museum because of her features, like, you know, subject. And the pencil test, where a pencil would be inserted in one's hand, that would like determine whether your degree of blackness or whiteness, if you like. So playing on again like physical visualities of like how identity is supposed to look like, or what African identity is supposed to look like in that work. And the numbers are taken from my identity book, where I got my citizenship post-apartheid, but during the apartheid regime, my mum still got her identity book, where the numbers specify 01, white, 02, Khika, Nama, like all the different groups. So this very rigid way of categorising identity. My dad's got two birth certificates, where one says, I think, mother mixed, father white, I think, and then another certificate where it's like eye colour, hair colour, like these very physical things that ingrain in people's mind how we're supposed to look at identity, which is highly problematic. And so through that comes the work, also Your Idea of Africa Sucks. I wanted to create a very satirical piece, but also drawing on like kind of kitsch, curio item that you might find down at the Vic Market, that is this really tokenistic kind of souvenir, but that how also that contributes to how it's creating and perpetuating very, to use Richard Bell's term, ooga booga ideas of brown and black identity. You see on the scarf, it says Bushman painting. So again, derogatory language like Du Bosman that was used to refer to indigenous peoples of the Southern Africa region. I've said a lot of information now that some maybe of you may be familiar with or not, but does anyone have any questions or like about the work or anything that I've talked about so far?
Talk about your video.
Oh, yeah, okay. So the video work, as I kind of touched on before, again, is a march of like 50 years since District 6 was declared a white area, I think I said. So if you watch the video, you'll see people gathering. It's also like a reunion that's kind of taking place because of the separation that has happened within this community. So a once thriving community, as I was saying, caused a threat of radical thought, but also when white people were like, no, we want all this land, not this land, and like my family, I family, District 6 and Woodstock, that were then moved again and then moved again and asked where they went to the valuing of the property and what they were kind of made to kind of like give up the house for, to what these areas are like affluent areas of Cape Town now, which is, you know, quite frustrating. But yeah, District 6, the video shows footage that I captured on the march, remembering, and they're walking down the old Hanover Street to the Moravian Chapel, and there's still people fighting for their land and housing back. It's slowly happening, but it's a very complex kind of thing where you have at the moment a corrupt government with Jacob Zuma. That's kind of me digressing. So this plan has begun of getting housing back for people, but then again within that there's really intense debates where there's people who've been offered housing where they've created another life already. Like, it's, District 6 isn't going to be the same as it was. So why would I want to like live back? And it might also re-bring up racial trauma from that whole process of leaving and being subjugated. So some of these homes are now, the grandchildren are being given. So I have a couple of friends that live in District 6 now. There's still a lot of barren land, but they're slowly building. So you'll see in the video it says 50 years ago these bulldozers were here for a different reason. So there's bulldozers there now that's to reconstruct the area, but there's it's a slow process, and with there's older people within the community who are waiting and waiting, being like, when am I, you know, going to have, like, I think it's great that the grandchildren can come in and continue that legacy, but at the same time, I'm still here and I'm still waiting. So, and you'll see people talk about that in the video and the effects of, and it wasn't just District 6, there was many areas in the Cape region and across South Africa where forced removals occurred, and as well as other, the Immorality Act, Group Areas Act that happened during apartheid, and the generational effects of this, especially in the Cape, you'll see the legacies of this, the regions that are still very like coloured, working class areas, and you see Camps Bay and Clifton and the wealth that is there. And, you know, I don't know how those people live with themselves, but anyway, so if you have an area like the Cape Flats that a lot of people that lived from District 6 and now in Cape Flats and Mitchell's Plain and Bonteville, and the effects of that and how it continues on. In the video as well, you may notice there's performers and people who, there's this really derogatory coloured stereotype of coloured people not having teeth, but it comes from a form of resistance where the community didn't want to learn the language of the white man, so it was like literally pulling out teeth as a resistance to not. So these kind of subtle things that are playing out in the video, but also the video is, as it's titled, Remembering District 6 and reflecting on these oppressive historical occurrences and how it's still happening today. To talk more in depth about the video. But yeah, I can talk a lot. So, does anyone have any statements or questions?
So as I understand, you mentioned that there was a kind of strive for whiteness.
Mm.
So considering your time spent in your residency and learning the history of separation, what do you now propose, or kind of what is your question now in terms of striving for a different ideal?
Mm. Well, I think what I kind of only touched on a little bit, what is starting to happen now, and especially in the Cape region is people questioning this language and questioning, well, hang on a minute, why were we striving for this whiteness? We should be reclaiming our identity. And, you know, I mean, to use an example, the ANC began as the so-called coloured and black communities together to resist and fight against the white powers. There was a protest that took place, I think, in Cape Town, known as the Purple Rain protest, where there were coloured and black communities that were protesting in the streets, and one of the protesters managed to grab, the police were spraying people with purple paint so they knew who to arrest. And so one of the protesters like grabbed the gun and just sprayed everyone, and just kind of like neutralizing these rigid borders and these kind of things of like within the colored community, this striving for whiteness. Because it's a difficult conversation piece with some people, especially like lighter skinned colored people that feel through that ingraining and like colonial education they're above or don't, in denial of acknowledging their slave ancestry. So I think, I mean, in Johannesburg it was very different because Johannesburg is very different to Cape Town in the sense that the so-called coloured community is quite small. And so what I found really refreshing and awesome was talking to like-minded artists about like ideas of self-determination and, you know, this very Amandla Awetu, which is, you know, power to the people. That was a protest cry during apartheid. But, you know, really interested in hearing my perspective because there's a bit of like a city war. Well, not a city war, but people from Cape Town don't like Johannesburg. People from Johannesburg don't like Cape Town. And I couldn't help but simplify it in terms of the racial tension because Johannesburg is a very black city and Cape Town is where majority of white and the coloured community reside in the southern African region. So, but after talking to more people and artists about my work and about, you know, reclaiming coloured identity or questioning the use of term coloured and getting rid of, you know, this kind of language or how it can be reclaimed, people were like really interested and also like supportive of that because I think, and as I touched on before, a lot of people see Afrikaans as oppressive because in areas like Johannesburg and Soweto, you know, you had to learn Afrikaans or English and were oppressed from learning like Nedbele or Sotho or Zulu. So they see Afrikaans as oppressive in that way. Whereas in the Cape region, in a lot of poor working class areas, again, that Kumbase Afrikaans, it's actually, that's the authentic, if you want to, authentic again, used loosely, like formulation of Afrikaans, like not this very savour, which means pure, like kind of Afrikaner water Afrikaans in my perspective. So there is this kind of movement happening towards a pride and identity and conversations that's happening in Cape Town now amongst the so-called coloured community, which is really exciting. But I think for a long, long time that, again, striving for whiteness or denial or shame of, you know, owning that identity because of the oppressive structures that took place there. And also how they're parallel to Australia and the, you know, the colonial oppression that has happened here and Australia's own apartheid. I'm pretty sure the Australian government was looking towards South Africa on how South Africa was implementing their methods of segregation and erasure. But yeah, I hope that answered kind of what you're talking about. So any other questions or even about the work? I mean, I've talked a lot about like colonization and like concepts, but if there was any aesthetics or, you know, in terms about the making, I can talk about as well, if you like. I mean, the use of black and gold for me, not only a visual thing, but in terms of, again, I talked about wealth of the country, where the mines and the mining industry in South Africa and the gold that's harvested on, you know, black land that is still sent abroad and it's not going into the country. I mean, the rand, like compared to the Australian dollar, is still so low. And in a so-called new South Africa, why is there still the kind of poverty and wealth that's happening in areas that it shouldn't be? And I guess I'm also slightly touch on that with the coloured tea and the using of these colours, the red going into the rainbow. Like in the post-apartheid South Africa, was like nicknamed the Rainbow Nation, where, you know, all together and whatnot. But this was also a very kind of, I feel like, optimistic, but not a good nickname, because there's still a lot of complex issues and things that need to be addressed, and it doesn't help having a corrupt president. But I think, what was I going to say now about? Yeah, the Rainbow Nation. But in the same time, in saying that, I feel like South Africa is extremely progressive in terms of race dialogues and, you know, conversations that people are ready to have, because people have had to have them through the history. Whereas in Australia here, it's much more swept under the rug and, you know, not spoken of, which it should be. So that's one thing that really, like, South Africa, like, in the areas that I spent, is quite progressive in that sense. It's like, I'm opening the newspaper, it's there, like, and talk being discussed, and even issues of, like, queer identity as well is being discussed, like, in Australia right now, what's happening with, you know, the gay marriage bill, but this has already been passed in South Africa a long time ago. So, yeah, in some ways when people come up to me and they kind of talk to me about South Africa being this really behind kind of place, but I think it's actually much more progressive than Australia in a lot of contexts and what people think. But, I'm not quite sure what else to talk about. I've kind of just spat a lot of information. The use of red, the colour red in the work as well, with the TM again, it's kind of feeding into that branding on the work, and I kind of wanted it to also be like a stamp as well, like this very bureaucratic, rigid, like kind of, you know, ways that identity categories happened in South Africa. So, and I mean, they can be also, they also occur here. Like my interrogations, if you like, wasn't just within South Africa and within my own communities kind of asking these questions. It was very much in Australia as well, growing up, being asked, like, why do you look like this, or why is it this, and these things that, you know, make you question and deconstruct how identity is perceived. But yeah, so I wanted that kind of officialness in the works as well. So, yeah, I think I've talked a lot.
What's your background in medium?
My background in medium, I guess I'm multidisciplinary. I studied painting at art school, but that didn't really last long. You know, you think about post-modernity and like, oh, painting, that's dead. But I've worked a lot with video installation, large-scale video projection. And so it was really refreshing, actually, to work again with my hands, so, and doing installation. Video, looking at these screens a lot. I mean, I do have a couple of video works in the show. So this is the first kind of series of prints. I've partaken in printmaking before, but it was really awesome in Assemblage Studios, where I was having the printmaking studio. And when I was thinking about, okay, I'm on residency, so it's not like I brought all my gear necessarily to another country. How can I be resourceful or also still work within my mediums? It felt silly not to take advantage of the printmaking studio. And the research from that I had done at the social history libraries in Cape Town. So it all kind of came together really nicely. And print as well in South Africa, people like William Kentridge, it's like the big print kind of name. So it also seemed necessary to work within that medium because of its own kind of history in South Africa, or in Johannesburg. Johannesburg was very market commercial fast as well. I don't normally my work is much more installation conceptual based, and I don't really care if you're going to buy it or not. But that being in Johannesburg, it's kind of that marketing commercialness bled into like my mind while I was on residency. So in making these works, yeah, I work across a variety of mediums, but yeah, all the works have the same conceptual theme of identity, looking at notions of authentic identity and what that is apparently looks like and how to subvert or challenge understandings of that. Yeah.
You spoke about your identity and connection to the history here in Australia. How do you go, do you have a community where you unpack your thinking about identity, the coloured community that you do your unpacking with? Is it family or?
So, like, this is the thing again in how the oppressive colonial structures have affected the very segregated coloured community. Because I, through this exhibition, I feel like that has grown. Like, I really wanted as many South Africans, and especially those South Africans who were classed as coloured, to come and see the work and the themes that I'm talking about here, because of that segregation, I don't really have that community, like specific community. So growing up, I've looked towards a lot of Aboriginal arts and music because that was like a black culture that I could identify or sympathize with, you know, issues of struggle within those communities. But in terms of a specific South African coloured community, I haven't. But through this exhibition, it's been really lovely. Like, people coming up to me that are from those areas or like identify with the subjects that I'm talking about. But I think, especially after being on residency in Johannesburg, I realized how important it is of self-care and to surround myself with people that were not going to constantly make ignorant statements because of their privilege. That was something that was highlighted to me when I was in Johannesburg and being around like a lot of really awesome Amandla like power people. So yeah, there. I mean, and there's places also like Afro Hub and like Footscray Community Arts Centre that are cultivating like institutional spaces for POC brown black artists to have a space to create works, because that was something I found difficult also during uni. Like in my honours year, I nervously was, we had to propose what we were going to talk, like our practice would be for the year, and I was kind of nervously like, I'm going to be looking at post-colonial feminist practice and discourse, and was reading about a lot of bell hooks at the time and just loving it. And so I remember like one of the white males was kind of like, why do you want to do that? Like, he just completely had no idea about the necessariness or the damage of, or the ignorance through his privilege, like, but also was taking a position in terms of like a city, because a city, it's so cosmopolitan, like these things don't happen, which is so ridiculous. Like, it's always country regions that get kind of told that they're really like, yeah, simple and like, to use a classist term, bogan in, you know, viewing these things, but it's very much, you know, rife within cities as well. So yeah, that was something even in my honours year, like, and in uni, and practicing through the subjects that I was. I mean, it's shifting, but when I was at Monash University, like, there was not peer brown or black artists that I could discuss my work with, and even lecturers, like, I was creating work, and before I kind of delved more into post-colonial practicing artists and discourses, like, I was looking at a lot of kind of Fluxus artists and 70s performance work, like Bruce Nauman kind of type works, and I was kind of looking at these things and still trying to work out what my practice was. And my, you know, my tutors or lecturers aren't telling me, oh, go look at these works because perhaps you'll identify with this. It was never like recommended to me to look at like bell hooks or Franz Fanon or Adrian Piper, and I mean, Adrienne Pipe is a massive influence on me. She's, if you have heard of her, she's an African-American artist that grew up in Harlem, who experienced this in-between space of, like, by her black peers not feeling accepted, but then also within her academic white circles not being, like, white enough. And so later, she was more conceptual, but later in her life was looking at, she has a series called Vanilla Nightmares, and her work kind of looks at the language as well, like, and unpacking that. And we were called coloured, then we were called Afro, and then we were called, you know, African American, and how the language keeps shifting, but it's still upholding really reductive and negative categories of identity. So the works, I don't necessarily have a solution to new language, but I'm trying to also propose and challenge about the language that's being used now, and that it's problematic.
Your t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be making more, and are you going to be...
Yes. So while I was in residency as well, I did a very small run of only 10 t-shirts. It was kind of like a last, let's add this in, with the gold and black again in the works. But I will be making more that will probably emulate more, because it came from this print and wanting to do white with the same. Doing this Emerging Cultural Leaders program at Footscray Community Arts Centre. So we'll be having a showcase in November, so I'll be hoping to sell t-shirts there, so I can give you details. But yeah, I think I'll finish there, but thank you all for coming and listening to me talk about the works, and I'll still be hanging around for another half hour or so. So if you wanted to talk to me in a more one-on-one and not intense space, you're welcome to do that as well. So thank you. Complimentary, have a refreshment, drinks, grapes, and some cheese and pickies as well. Go for it.
I'll be watching.
Oh, you can go in whenever you like.
Oh, sorry, just
playing on the